Welcome to Sunday Service with Dr. Paula Price. Take a seat, open up your Bible, and prepare to enjoy an evening of praise, worship, revelation, and insight as Dr. Price releases pearls of wisdom from the throne of God. Tonight's praise and worship is presented by Prophet Ursula Wright. Visit www.uwright.com for her ministry contact and booking information. Again, that's www.uwright.com.
Trust mounting up, can't you? Just feel your faith mounting up on wings even as the eagles. For they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. And it's in your presence, Lord, that there is the fullness of joy. It's in your presence that I can know the law.
You know, God has been talking to us. I told you we're going to start dealing with money. Y'all remember money?
Amen.
Right. You know, money is one of the things that, you know, if you even if you're absent-minded, you don't forget money.
Amen.
You ever notice that about money? You could be absent-minded. You could be dead. You know, if you're sick, you got to think about money. If you're happy, you got to think about money. If you're sad, well, you still got to think about money. So I decided that if we have to think about it that much, we probably need to understand it better.
Amen.
So God has been really dealing with me on the fact that we have to change our perception of money and our expectations concerning it. So when we think about money, I'm so stunned that when I started doing this, I realized, God, we don't have a mind for money. How many of you know you don't really have a mind for money? But if we're going to do what we're going to do, we have to get the attitude about money. Now, people with money think very differently. They don't think like us. Now, in every other area, they may act just like you. That's why you can't figure out who has money and who doesn't. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because folk with money have a whole different isolated circumstance. They've got this reserve that never touches the subject of money with the wrong people. So you sitting down there talking about them and whining and complaining and telling your business and wasting your change, and they never say a word. Some of them even act like they agree with you. But in the back of their mind, they know that they have something on you. They have a better perception and perspective on finances and wealth. I have been amazed at the folk who really have blessed my ministry. They never look like the people who could. I'm amazed at where the big checks come from. They never come from the big mouth or the finest dresser. I mean, rarely. You know, those who are close know what I'm talking about. Because money is one thing about money you got to do is you got to respect it. You can't just crave it. You have to respect it. It has to have a place of respect in your life. Most of us don't. Most of us, folk without money, don't have it because they don't have a respect for it. They don't believe it should exist. They don't believe it has rules. They don't believe it has principles and laws. I was so surprised when I read in the Bible one definition of the money comes under one of the words that's used for laws. It has its own laws. You waste it, it's gone. You don't labor for it, it doesn't come. You don't give it enough thought, it doesn't last. It doesn't stay. You don't cause it to work for itself, it won't reproduce. You don't put it in things that will help it work, it will just dry up. Isn't that true? If you think that money is the end-all, do-all, be-all, you won't have much. Had a man in one of my last meetings said to me, he listened to my series, Money is a Spirit, 25 days. I put everybody on assignment. I forgot I gave him this assignment a year ago. I said, I want you to listen to Money is a Spirit for 25 straight days. I said, just keep playing it, 25 straight days. He said, I listened to it for more than 25 days because it was so good, it changed my whole thought, my whole life. He said, so I just kept playing it over and over again. He said, so at the end of 25 days, the playing it alone had attracted new partners in his life, big money business partners, just because he began to change his mindset, he began to change his attitude. And so he said, so I stand before you today. I still don't have any money. And everybody goes, oh. But I am now the owner of $25 million worth of property. I said, baby, you got money. He said, I had to tell you because what this woman is telling you is true. It works if you work it. Sometimes familiarity will cause us not to implement what other folk are being blessed on. So he couldn't sit down fast enough before another woman stood up. And she didn't even stand up, she shouted out. She said, I'm telling you, I'm a witness, it works. She said, I did the 25 days. She said, I did more than 25. He did it so much, he could preach that. So he said, I now have $25 million worth of homes. So people tell us all over the country, money is the spirit works. Money is the spirit works for me. Because I should be gone. I should be flat out gone. We should be gone. I raised an offer and I said, listen, God wants everybody to give X amount of dollars. Now I want you to give your best dollar. I'm not going to beg you. Didn't beg. I spent 3 seconds telling them what we're going to do because I'd already taught them. So this young couple gets up and they get up and they are weeping. And the guy is like, I said, well, hon, what do you want? He brings his little envelope. He said, I want a job. I said, that's great. Men always want a job. I say to sister, I said, baby, what do you want? I don't know. No, sweetheart, you know. Now tell me what you want. She said, I want my own home. I turned to brother, $25 million worth of houses, and said, hey, there you go. Before we left, he was already working on their deal. I said, so they came out grinning. We just love you. They're holding hands. Now they're really in love. You know, they were. They really in love. Say, come on. They said, I said, so I can't. I said to her, because she couldn't stop grinning. I said to her, I said, baby, you getting the house? Yes, I am. So I saw the guy who was one of my supporters, and I said, you going to put them in the house. He said, this is what he said. He said, for you, Dr. Price, I'm going to move everything I need to move to put them in. One person who believed that 25 days worked. So they're grinning, and she is thrilled. And you know what she'll remember? She'll remember that I obeyed God and sowed the seed. They prayed over it because, you know, they were struggling. They prayed over it. I said, and by the way, you will get a job. He said, thank you, ma'am. I said, but you, baby, you get ready to get a house. It's going to work for you. She was thrilled. And so in that room that night, we had people who could put people in houses and in cars and in businesses in one little room. It wasn't thousands of people. But it was a multi-million dollar faith in that room. It was an amazing night. God couldn't stop. We sell that tape. And so I told Brady, I want him to put that testimony on tape for me. Because I know that it works if you work it. And he said, before he listened to that tape, and that's what makes it so important, before he bought that, he had sown. You were there that night. And I said, listen, God's going to make you a multimillionaire. And it's not going to be real long. Because you can see it on him. He wears it. He comes up with his little check. He was the first one to get in line. And you know what I found out? He doesn't fear money. What you fear, you cannot conquer. He was fearless. What he feared was God. What he feared was the word of the Lord not coming to pass in his life. What he feared was prophecy failing. So whenever we call an offering, and I've been with him 3 times now, he's always there, first in line. I'm there. I'm with you. Why? Because he doesn't fear it. Some of you fear it, and you fear it so that you have a moment of faith, you sow, and then fear comes in and robs. You allow fear to come and abort your seed because you start second-guessing. Instead of doing battle with that seed and warring over it, decreeing the word of the Lord, you begin to fear. Oh, man, I shouldn't have done it. Well, you watch now. You ain't going to have something. You know what it's called, and you don't know what she's going to do. And everybody thinks that's wisdom. That's not wisdom. That's weaponry. The enemy is using the weapon of words to invoke fear. Many of you got so caught up. You say, well, no, we're still here, so we didn't believe. No, you got so caught up in what everybody else said, you didn't work your own seed. So I was excited. I was excited to hear this and to be on the road to hear such a testimony. He said, and they buy more property every day. Every day. Because how many of you know if you got property, you got money? Is that right? Because, see, some folk don't know that. I asked the bank, is that right? Is that right, Mr.? Okay, so we're all in agreement. And if you don't have property, you broke. I get more equity letters in the mail. Would you just let us give you some money for your house? Why? Because land retains it. And you've not broke beyond until you get property. And you all keep thinking it's some sort of magical thing. There's no reason for you not to believe. Tulsa has all kinds of sessions, programs for you to become a homeowner. All kinds. And you don't have to be all that wealthy to do it. You just have to have faith. I said that because the first thing I want you to do is recognize is that you will never have money beyond your respect for it. And not only beyond your respect for it, but also beyond your dominion over it. Dominion over all things means dominion over all things. And it shouldn't rule you. You should reign over it. It's part of, mammon is part of the sin principalities God took victory over. You should rule it, not fear it. Rule it. And you rule it by, number one, learning the principles. So we're going to learn the spiritual principles, and then we'll move into practical. Because we need to make sure that you don't forget Jesus the Christ. Riches is in Scripture 179 times. Isn't that amazing? Did you think God talked about riches that much? God talked about holiness, right? Sanctification, right? Getting saved, right? Talking in tongues, right? Giving to the poor, right? Seeking the kingdom, right? Money, he discusses 140 times. How many of you know riches and money are not the same? Does anybody know the difference? Money is a means to riches. And riches is a guarantee of always being able to liquidate and get some more money. Wealth, 29 times. You can see how many people use money to get wealthy. Business, 29 times. Specifically, 29 times. You know how they said we're not supposed to do business in the church? You may be surprised. Trade, 6 times. Trade, exchange. However, merchants, 306 times God talks about buying and selling. 306 times God talks about buying and selling. That seems to be the number one occupation in Scripture. Or either it's an element of every other occupation, buying and selling. It goes all the way back to eternity, if you remember Ezekiel 28. Okay? Selling outright 40 times, buying outright 120 times. The bank mentioned 4 times. Interest is discussed 24 times. Economy, that is what's the sum of your personal household, 11 times. And treasure, 108 times. Now, it blows my mind that that many references to money are in Scripture, and half of the church, 2/3 of the church, broke. So my question becomes, what bankrupted us? What is it that bankrupted the Christian? What is it that causes the Christian to be impoverished? And I think that as we go through these sessions, I don't know, we're real fortunate, we might find out. We know one is a vow of poverty that never began with Jesus Christ. Vow of poverty came from pagan religions. They have this vow that if you're going to serve God and if you're going to really believe in God, if you want to get deeply spiritual, you must be poor. Jesus told the rich young man, sell all that you have, and then you have treasure in heaven. Well, when you first hear that, it sounds like he's advocating that we all become bankrupt. We all sell everything we have and have treasure in heaven and follow him until we recognize that in him is hid all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All of the riches are in him. How about, got another point. Sell all you have and you'll follow him. You follow him because you want treasures in heaven. And that seems like, well, that means when I die. Well, not if you remember that he said to Peter, I give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. He didn't even say, kid, that you would have treasure in the kingdom of God. He said in heaven. He was saying, I'm getting ready to usher in a new economy. I'm getting ready to usher in a new wisdom for economy. I'm getting ready to usher in wealth that cannot be taken away. I'm getting ready to release the wisdom of eternity, of all creation on you, and it's going to be stored in the heavens. And guess what? I just gave you all the key to it. I don't know about you, but that set me free. So he's saying, sell all the devil's junk. Sell the corrupt stuff. And then he proves it by most of us being knowing that when you come to God, he makes you give Satan his stuff back. And then he gives you true riches. Anybody flown with me yet? See, but he gives you few true riches in this lifetime. Because we're waiting to die. We're all waiting to get old and die to get some money. First of all, when you're old, you can't work as hard. So if you don't get it while you're young, you probably won't have much. So, but this is what God said. Jesus is not confused. He was really saying, I'm getting ready to do away with this world system that you know. I'm getting ready to cast out the gods of this world and the princes of this world. I'm getting ready to cast them out. So everything that they have is getting ready to be mine. And then I'm getting ready to inherit all the authority that the Father God, the Creator, has given in heaven and on earth. So guess what? When you follow me, I'm going to take you into my wealth. I'm getting ready to birth a new kingdom, usher a new kingdom in. Anybody hear what I'm saying? And so my kingdom is getting ready to own all of this. It's like somebody knowing they're getting ready to get a promotion. He was talking just like that. He's like, in a minute, I'm going to own all of this. You might want to follow me. You might want to hook up. You might want to come along because I'm getting ready to be the king of it all. And people were living in the now and looking at the natural and stuck in what they saw, so they never heard what the man was really saying. It's like my daughter telling you, all right, my mother's going to be dead in 3 days. Y'all better treat me good. You can get caught up on me being dead, or you can hear the rest of the story. Because when I'm gone, it's over. Psalm 2 said, kiss the son. That's what it said. It said, kiss the son. Now, if Israel had believed any prophecy, they'd have been kissing Jesus up the front and down the back. He'd have been one kissed up brother. I want you to get that, because if you don't hear what I'm saying, you know, you're going to get all off base. I'm telling you that he never once said he wanted us to be broke. Never once said it. He said, listen, we wouldn't all have the same amount. He always said 30, 60, or 100. And some people only won't believe him 30% of the time. All of Matthew is about the kingdom of heaven. You need to read it. You need to understand what he's saying. In Matthew 19, he says that. He said, Peter said, you know, they call it the apostles' reward. You under apostle, you can share some of mine. I'm all right. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. That's the principle of the kingdom. You must leave everything of this world and follow him. You must be willing to leave it all. Not many Christians are, because they don't really believe Jesus is all that. So Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone means everyone. That means you, who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and not or, and inherit what? Does it say eternal life? Everlasting life. Does somebody Bible say eternal? All right, see what happens when you get all them translations? And then y'all probably got that hood Bible. We said life out there. Eternal life, everlasting life, doesn't matter. But many who are first will be last and the last first. Why? Because many people will jump ship just before a payday. Many people are walking around today in the body of Christ, mad with God, mad with the church, because they jumped ship one day too soon. They have formulated a judgment, like the parable of the talents. They'd already decided this is going nowhere. God's not in it. It's not going to work. I gave all this money for nothing. Look what I have. They all decided and they jumped ship because they didn't read the Lord's other principle. He that endures to the end. What's the end? The end is payday. The end is payday. Many people sow in God, labor for years, break down, do all of these things, all that for years. And they feel like, well, I've done it for 5 years. I've done it for 10 years. Jesus was on the planet 33 years. 33 years. And he was God. But he never took his eyes off the prize. Many people can't stand the insults. They can't stand the criticism, the ridicule, and all of those things that go with being set up to get blessed up. Many people backbite, talk, and criticize. You ever notice the people who need it the most got the most mouth? You ever know that? Folk with the least got the most to say. But you realize why they have the most to say, because, well, they got the least. Because if they had more, they'd have less to say, because they'd have less reason to say it. You know, the more content you are, the less acrimonious, the less antagonistic you are. Unhappy people are critical. Thought I'd make that plain. Unfulfilled people are critical. Embittered folks are critical. They are the people most likely to destroy their own blessing. The Bible said a critical person will tear their own house down with their mouth. They're continual dripping. Every time you turn around, they're dripping something else that you can't stand. I thought that was good. Y'all didn't think that was good.
Hi, this is Prophet Ashley. Luke 6 tells us to give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Because you've been blessed by today's message, go to www.drpaulaprice.com and click on Sow a Seed. And now for the continuation of today's message.
A value on your service, a value on your sacrifice, a value on your diligence, then guess what? You will never perform what it takes to reap a harvest. You know, it's nice to have those noble things. Well, I just love you, Dr. Price. That's great, but I want you to be a fighter. I want you to follow me for something. Because, see, if you're going to try to go after your something, you're going to have to go through my something to get your something. I got it all worked out. But if you're following me for nothing, I'm not impressed. Because you don't have a real appreciation of the laws of the Spirit, sowing and reaping, laboring and inheriting, enduring and receiving. That's why people can jump churches like they do. They don't expect to get anything out of it because they got their jobs. And then when the job falls, guess where they come to church? Like God doesn't know you ain't been there for 10 years. God's like, I'm sorry, you tapped out, I'm tapped out because you wasn't putting nothing in here. Now think about this. He said, so we've left all. And again, now this is Mark's version. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospels and and the God. Now, first it was his name's sake. Now it's the gospel's sake. We're stepping it up. Who shall not receive 100-fold now. Now, N-O-W, now. Now. Anybody see now? Now and when? In what time? What time would that be? The time you're reading it, that's when you're getting it. Hallelujah. That's your time. When is God going to bless me? Now? When can I expect it? Now? When should I be looking for it? Now? When should I be laboring toward it? Now? You waiting for tomorrow? So your faith is in tomorrow. And when tomorrow comes, you got faith for the next day. But you don't have that faith for now. Today I expect God to do it. I expect him to do something else tomorrow, but today I want to get it. Because he has provided for us each and every day. Amen. Oh, somebody here now? Now. Well, I done served the Lord and what I got. That was Peter. Peter had the same problem. Peter was like, we done followed you. I done put the kids on hold, wife on hold. For all of y'all who think marriage is more important than the gospel, I want you to read that too, because it ain't. Amen. That's why a lot of married folks not blessed, because they got it backwards. Because God said, I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have no other God before me. And if your spouse is a god, God's going to curse your marriage. Because a true spouse would want their mate in the will of God. I don't know about you, but my husband want me in the will of God. You know, I love you in my bed, but I don't need to be dead. Because they know the law of sacrifice. They know that if you're going to reap from the invisible, you got to give up something visible. You've got to sacrifice something visible. You've got to be prepared to give something you got for what you want. Oh, y'all didn't hear that. So now we see one of the reasons why so much of the church is poor. Bad teaching will bankrupt you. 10:28. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. All these people that think that they lived in comfort, no, they said they left all. Because during that time, if you felt you had something great, you sold all, gave all, left all for it. Today we want a part-time sacrifice and a full load blessing. See, this is not about me. I didn't write this. I weren't that smart. This is about Jesus Christ, who's telling you the laws of the Spirit. If you want something from him, he's telling you what you need to do. You cannot stroke me with fantasy and flattery. Neither move me. I'm going to need you to get in this book and find out how I do it. And then he says, who shall not receive 100-fold? When you leave all, see, Peter said, see, God's slick. I love this man. You got to love him. God said, when you leave all, or when you risk all, then that's 100%. So you shouldn't expect less than 100-fold return, because all equals all. So when God calls you, whether it's this year, next year, 5 years from today, 10 years from today, you need to remember, he got a plan. Now, does he make everybody leave all? All is up to God to define. Because some people want to sell all, and then God didn't tell them to sell all. He didn't tell you to sell all your stuff. You just sold it because you wanted to be spiritual. All right? And so you ended up helping someone else out. You know, when God wants you to do something, don't worry about it. You feel good about it and you feel safe. You still feel panic. You need to wait. You know, it's a shot-by-shot call. There is no formula. Right. They're just principles. Because in God, you say, well, God, if you tell me to sell my car, I have to take a bus to work. God will say, yeah, you're right, you will. But God, I don't really have anything else. I know. Now. Do you believe me or not? Why? Because that whatever God makes you leave is what will cause you to bow to something else but him. He will never ask you to give up something that you can easily let go. If it's not, because that's not a real trial, okay? That's just a little exercise in negotiation. When God tells you to leave something that you have wrapped your hope around, your love around, your passions around, your dreams and all of your affections around, that you need to know he's got something big for you. Now, he said in this life, most of us think that if we give it today, God will return it tomorrow. Yes. No, then he has this other clause, endure to the end. Endure to the end is payroll, payday. And so he says, you're going to receive 100-fold in this time. Now, I like now. That just thrills me. Because that means it's not going to always be 45 years away. You will continue to reap a reward and a return until you die. Now you're going to receive in this time houses. Buddy got $25 million worth of them. That's a pretty good return for a year and a half worth of suffering. If he'd have known that, he probably would have suffered a lot more heartily if he knew God was going to do that. Now, he also adds something else. He said, with persecution. Now, many of us don't like the persecution piece. But Jesus is honest. I like this man. He told the truth, the whole truth, the every bit of painful truth. He said, with persecution. And then in the age to come, eternal life. And now when we go to Luke, because it's important that you understand that God, when God says something three times, it's a real deal. Three times, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. That means all three members of the Godhead agree this is real. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. And he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God. Anybody hearing it? First the name? Luke. Oh, y'all didn't know? Oh, y'all didn't have my kind of Bible, huh? Okay, it's Luke 18:28. Now, understand, did you notice in all, he said it three times. That tells me that that's a divine principle. That means that that's never going to end. So he said, the first time he said it was for my name's sake. Second time he said it was for the gospel. Third time he said for the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more. So you see, it's three levels of reward. Now, Matthew and Mark said 100-fold. Here, this crew gets many times more. Well, because he's letting you know 100 means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Because somebody left everything and somebody might have just left mama or daddy or brothers or sisters or children or wife. Now, I love this because also whatever you give up for the kingdom of God, gospel is preaching, kingdom is living and believing. And the name of Jesus is God. He said many times more. And again, in this present time. So this whole, we got to suffer 22 years and 95 years. No, you suffer because you believe a lie. Because whatever you confess is what you would reap. Nope, this is not God. I left all God. So you said I'm going to receive 100-fold. Right now, I need a good piece of that. I need a good chunk of that right now. Good chunk of that. Right now. I need a house. I left my house. I left my country. He told Abraham, leave your family, leave your relatives. God has always called giants to leave all. If you've left all, it's because you are ordained to be a giant. That's how it is. It's just what he does. You can read your history. David left all, called to be king. Abraham left all. Think about it. So if he calls you to leave all, it's because the portion of his kingdom he's getting ready to assign you to is vast. And you need all of the wisdoms and you need everything it takes without distraction. See, he only tells you because you're too, and some people are so loyal, he got to do it. So without distraction, he wants to prepare you to keep that he's about to entrust to you. And family is a distraction. It's a blessing. It's needful. I love family. But it can be a distraction because you're going to, if Satan can tap anything to take you out, he can tap your family. Is that good or what? Now, God said, whatever you leave. So some of you all left everything for God. Everything. Didn't look back. Just said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. And then you did it. And now it's noble. You're not expecting anything from it. What's wrong with you? The minimum you should expect is 100-fold. 100-fold. Are you all getting blessed by this? Is this? See, your faith has been in your failure. It's been in your deprivation. It's been in your lack. It's been in your delay. It's been in your hindrances. Put your faith in the word of God. The word of God says 100-fold, 100-fold. It says now, it means now. Now in this time, in this present time. Not when you old and gray and too tired to even be able to get to the market. Now. Now. Right now. So you have to start looking for it. And now you got to keep looking. You can't call yourself looking and then mad because it takes a while. You keep looking and laboring and looking and laboring. Keep on looking and laboring. He said now in this time, what time? Your lifetime. The time you're living in right now. 817 times God talks about money. So why don't you have any? 817 times. God is going to enrich you for one reason and one reason only, to establish his covenant. And you have a covenant based on better promises. When I didn't read all of the other Old Testament stuff, just in case you didn't realize that Jesus carried it over. He said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. You remember God, he's going to remember you. For it is he that gives thee power to get wealth. Power to get wealth. Why? That he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Some of your parents died, your grandparents died, didn't get anything. But it falls on you. Your parents served the Lord. Your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents served the Lord. It's going to fall on you. Everybody is stunned that black folks are getting blessed, but a lot of slaves died before the inheritance ever came. A lot of them were killed serving God and believing God. And it's coming up. There is such a wealth that's getting ready to hit the black race, not because we were good or bad, because we ain't been that special. But that inheritance is coming full cycle, full term, and it's getting ready to break out. It's going to break out around the world. Everybody who knows God knows that because of the 200 years of slavery that our parents lived, where they were deprived and they were robbed. Because God is going to make every crooked path straight. Because that's him. So there's some of you all that like that. Some of you all black, white, green, blue, orange, and yellow. Folk robbed your grandparents of ideas and inventions and things that should have been theirs. God will not let that seed die out in the planet before he gives everyone its inheritance. That's why some people are just rank, stank, rotten, and God blesses them. He doesn't bless them because he likes what they're doing. He blesses them because he owes it to that line. And when he's paid that line, what they've done is bankrupt their next generation. He has, and even if they don't bankrupt them materially, they bankrupt them spiritually so that the next generation can't get healed from diseases, can't get a breakthrough. Trouble and calamity hit that family tree. Hezekiah did that. That's a Hezekiah prayer. Hezekiah said, well, at least it'd be nice in my day. I don't care what happens when I'm gone. So in his family, his son's line suffered heinously. His son's rulership suffered because of his selfishness, because he can only see the here and now. God wants to establish his covenant with you, with me. And you've got to say this, God, I got a covenant with you. I expect it to work. Expect people to bless you. You have been tithing. You've been faithful. You've been pouring into God's business and God's kingdom. You call on that. That is your withdrawal ticket. You made your deposit. Now start pulling out your withdrawal tickets. Now, God, now, Lord, hey, Jesus, Almighty, now you know, and you said, and my mama, and my grandmama, and my great-grandmama, and all of that. I'm telling you, that thing about taking care of God while you live, to assure that God takes care of your kids when you're gone, is important. A lot of children in the church are in trouble because their parents cursed their seed, because the parents lost faith. You don't have the luxury of losing faith. You continue to believe to the end of the thing. Lord, now you got to take care of my kids. My daughters, you know, I got one daughter, God bless her. Lord, love her. I pray, I don't care what, I pray this girl gets work. I said, God, you sure good for this girl? He said, she's your seed. I promised you that all your descendants would be blessed. I said, oh, I got a lot, God. He said, I got a lot. I said, good, because my descendants are a little needy. And so I pray for y'all. I ask God for y'all all the time. I say, God, now you got to give them this and you got to give. Come on, God, but now they my children. Lord, they need to be spanked. But spank them while you bless them, okay, God? But give them the stuff. Why? Because I have that real relationship. That's a real-time relationship for me and God. I expect y'all to be blessed. I don't expect y'all to be out of work. I'm telling you, I will press God till he does it. I'll press him every day till finally he's all right. He said, I'm going to do this for you. Good. Thank you, God, boy. And so he knew I was already scheming the next way to come at him. He knew I was scheming. No, God, you got to bless this one and bless that one. Why? Because he gave me a covenant that as long as I'm faithful, my descendants will be blessed, even to the end of time. Well, I don't care. That's even descendants I don't even know I have yet. And that same blessing is on you for your descendants. You can get caught up in thinking God wants to curse them, or you can get caught up in thinking he wants to bless them. Man, God blessed too many nasty folk, man, for me not to believe that. A whole lot of sinners are riding high on them saintly parents. Wasn't that good? Every dollar counts. In the mind of the rich, every dollar counts. Every penny counts. Every nickel, dime, coin counts. Why? Because it's an attitudinal thing. It's a respect for revenue. Economy, they think increase. They think wealth. They think performance. They think productivity. They think profitability. What is it going to do for me? What's in it for me? Earnings and reward and value. All of those are what's on their mind. So when they make a deal, when they enter negotiations, when they go after buying stuff, that's what they're about. You'll be so glad somebody gonna let you have something. You so thrilled people gonna let you spend some money with them. Not the rich. The rich ought to be glad. I'm letting you have my money. Do you understand? That's a big deal. I'm choosing you to get my money. Amen. That's a big deal to them. Because they value where their money goes. And it's very important that you get a hold of that. Value where your money goes. Value where your effort goes. You shouldn't work at jobs that are beneath you. You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't work at jobs that don't have a hope. If they can't pay you, at least have a hope. Have a hope. You shouldn't do it. I mean, folk who really value who they are will not work at a job that's beneath them unless they just have to put food on the table. And you should be in and out of there as quick as it takes to get a breakthrough. Why? Because you value you. You are your economy. You are your commodity. You. Your thoughts, your mind, your ability to think and solve problems, all of that is your value system. You are your commodity. And every time you have training, stop treating your training like it's nothing because it's part of the job. There's a dollar value on your training at work. Stop treating it like it's nothing. I am so stunned at how much my whole life prepared me to do what I have to do under the circumstances and the conditions that I've had to do it. I was one of the people who worked the first kind of a word processor ever. And it was one of the first ones, and it was, it used cassette tapes. No screen. Talking about a hunting pet fun, man. And there was no back and forth. You rewind and whatever. It wasn't all of that. Everything was hard. I was the first one to use that at the police department in my city. I learned how to cut and paste. I worked for an insurance company and found out how they put policies together, cut and paste on paper, cutting little strips and gluing it here and doing it there. And you know what I'm talking about. And the whiteout. Remember the whiteout? Had 1,000 lines and whatever, and you had to keep photocopying it till you got all the lines out. I remember when the photocopies first came out, and remember the fax, the facsimile machine. Think about it, but you know what I understand? I understand how things work because of it. So when I saw cut and paste, those icons spoke to me because that means I didn't need scissors and glue. I was happy. Hey, click it. I've done so many little jobs along the way to learn how to survive and learn how to diversify things and how to answer problems. And right now, I'm pretty ingenious in that area because I worked in all of them little companies, coming up the ranks, coming up the ladder. Now, when I got my own company and the devil hit me, he couldn't touch my mind. He couldn't touch my innovation. He couldn't touch my ingenuity. And it always helped me get back on my feet. A little bit tedious, but it got me back on my feet. I think about some of the jobs I had. Switchboard. Learn how to work machinery. Learning how to put things together, taking things apart, plugging up wires, designing networks. All of that so that I can answer and ask very intelligent questions about what pertains to me now. A lot of people think you get there because you're just cute. God is not in love with cute. He made too many pretty people. God's like, I do pretty like y'all do wind. Inhale, exhale. Ain't that deep to me. So we're going to do a prayer. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you've been through a lot of warfare like I have, the enemy almost thinks you out of what you know. He almost makes you think it doesn't matter to you. When you have to put so many things on the line and you have to fight for so many things. I think about David. David is one of my favorite characters in the Bible simply because David went through it all. He just lived all of God's other life. Christ did most of his living through David. David really kind of got him to purge a lot of stuff out that line. And all David's sons, God had his hand full. In Romans 4:13, we can close on this one. God promised Abraham that he would be heir of the world. Can you imagine somebody telling you you're going to be heir of the world? I can't even fathom, how do you believe something like that? I mean, where do you go to get faith to say, yes, Lord? You know, you're almost like, you don't know, world. And you're like, world. Heir of the world. Abraham died. God kept the promise and is yet keeping that promise. Heir of the world. God gave every one of you a promise. He gave you all prophecies. Pull them out. Read them. Y'all remember? Play them again. Pull them out. Get your faith back up. And stop criticizing what isn't. And begin to decree, declare, and move into this realm what is. God does not give you a prophecy on something that doesn't exist for you, that he does not, has not already put into your account. It's already in your account. Already there. You don't understand. I just, you know, God, I need a car. Let me tell you about a car. Anybody want to hear about a car? God, you know, God wants you to know how easy it is for him to bless. Met this young man on a trip, all right? He owns 2 car lots, getting ready to buy a 3rd dealership. So we had him just this close to working on your cars. And the devil got in it. So I said, well, God, why did you do that? He said, I want you to know how easy it is for me to meet every need y'all have. He said, I got people set up to do anything you need. Anything. Anything. And God said, it's not over till it's over. So he told me, he said, you keep praying, I'm going to move on him. He told me, he said, keep praying, I'm going to move on him. Because he was going to set up for everybody to get a car.
That's right.
Everybody who needed one. Mm-hmm. So because the enemy got in it, I said, God, I hold him to his word.
Yes.
And now we got guilt in our favor.
Yes.
Working a little bit of holy guilt. Nothing like some sanctified guilt. He's going to feel a little indebted to us. But look how easy God can do things if you believe God to be God. God told me to say these words to you. He said, y'all can write them down if you want. He said, command the systems of this world to obey the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve you as his seed. As his seed. Command. The system, we've been feeling like we've been pummeled by the system. He said, but the systems belong to me. So you need to tell the systems how to behave. I said, really, God? He said, let it be unto you according to your faith. The systems of this world belong to God. We've been taught under the word movement and faith movement that the systems are the devil's. No, my Bible said that they're not, said he lost them. My Bible said he lost them in Calvary. He lost them in the conflict. So Jesus comes up, strutting like the Lion of Judah, talking about all authority in heaven and earth belong to me. And then he goes on and he tells Paul, by the way, Paul, everything's mine. It was all made for me, and it's all mine. And then I go and I read, and it said the kingdoms of this world should be the kingdoms of the Lord, our God, and his Christ. He said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Said the world and they that dwell therein. It said the shields of the earth belong to the Lord. They said the Lord, the world is founded upon God's word. Bible said that through Jesus Christ, God made the worlds. So where did that crazy doctrine come from? No, they belong to you. And when he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom of heaven, he said, now go teach them. And the mystery is that you were unlawful servants and captives. Now you're set free. So the secret is, don't tell the Christians that we don't any longer have power over them. That's the mystery. So the thing is, the systems of this world must serve you. Back them up. You will not do this. Father, I thank you that you've given me all power in the name of Jesus Christ, that you've given me all things that pertain to life and godliness, that all are yours. Paul said it. He said, all things are yours. All means all. So 100% of the world belongs to 100% of the Christian. All of it. We letting them rent it. We letting them use it while we grow up so we find out how not to lose it. We lose everything. So they need to be thankful to us. We're letting them do it. Because if not, if we weren't here, the world be gone. Because God doesn't need it. We the most priceless thing on the planet. We are the most priceless thing on the planet. In the mind of the Creator. He does not need earth. He needs us. He made the earth for us. The earth is the Lord's. That means it's made for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're his body. We are the most priceless thing God has in existence on this planet. Because we are here, he lets the sun come up. And he lets the unjust enjoy our sunlight. He lets the unjust drink our water and live on our planet. Why? Because he's got some more of us in some of them. Isn't that good to know? He lets them do it. And all he said is, I want to teach you how to rule and reign with me. That's all. The unjust is on borrowed time. When God comes with a new heaven and a new earth, they gone, we here. So you could tell, you know who the squatter is. Satan's the squatter. His children are the squatters. But see, they've convinced you because you believe lying vanities. You believe what that devil said. Well, you know, Satan's the god of this world. No, he's the god of their world. My world owns his. And Jesus is the god of my world. Because Jesus owns this. So guess what? It all belongs to you. You need to find out how to get it. The systems of this world, even their systems, you speak the righteousness of God into them. You watch. I'll give you a test, 10-day test. Anybody want a 10-day test? All right, 10-day test. 10 days. 10 days, I want you to speak correction into the systems of this world. Every time it crosses your mind, I command it to come in line with the Lord Jesus Christ. I command it to come in line with the word of truth. I command it to come in line to the authority of the Creator. I'm going to tell you something. God's going to give you a sign to show you it's working. Some of y'all are going to get breakthroughs, money, unusual favor, unusual gifts. Strange things are going to happen. Strange blessings. Strange blessings are going to come out of it. Because when you go and straighten up the wrong, it's got to bless the righteous. Because only the righteous has the authority to correct it. So when you start straight, when you face a situation, begin to command the system and the forces that are maneuvering it to come in line with the Lord Jesus Christ. Exert your authority as an offspring of the Godhead. I'm telling you, you are going to have amazing stories. They're going to begin to happen. And they'll continue to ripple throughout the year. Because God wants you to exercise your authority. Now, he's going to do this because he wants to show you I'm telling you the truth. He's going to do this because he wants to bear fruit to my word. Because the Bible says that he watches over his word to perform it. And I didn't make this up. This is his word. Anybody hearing me? Mm-hmm. 10 days. Command the system to come in line. And command the peace that's bothering you to reverse and bless you. Favor is going to come out of nowhere. Amen. Blessings out of nowhere. Opportunities out of nowhere is going to be amazing. It's going to be wild in the Holy Ghost. Wild. Repayments. Lost debts. You watch. Because if we don't get the attitude of what he has, this is nothing that you do in the face of people. This is between you and your maker and you and us and the saints. But he wants you to build your spiritual strength. He wants you to build your spiritual clout. So start telling. If the systems of this world belong to, because it said the shields of the earth belong to the Lord. They belong to him. So what you need? You owe me. You got to do this. And we're going to do it together. Because we're not going after a whole money thing where I just teach you how to do computers and budgets. I need to teach you how to retain. Because see, if you work it, the rest will come. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for who you are and what you've done. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you, Father God, for watching over this word to perform it. God, I'm asking that you would bear fruit to this word. I'm asking, God, that you would bear fruit to this word and it begin to manifest immediately, God, and that it continues to manifest until the wealth and the economy and the blessings and the substance of every word has been performed in this world, in the now, in this present time. Father God, I'm thanking you that we are hungry for this truth and this wisdom. And I thank you, Father, that you've assigned your angels to watch over this thing and to manifest. God, I'm asking you to put your angels on assignment right now to harvest the wealth of this word and to bring it to us and to lay it at our feet, Father, to put it in our bank accounts, to bring it in our homes, to place it in our storehouses. God, let us no longer walk around as paupers, God, because we don't know who we are, because you have called us to be your royal priesthood. And God, we want to stand in that place. And we want to walk, talk, act, think, dress, live like your royal priests. And I'm asking you to do it today, God. And I'm asking you to never, ever let up on it. Teach us. Wake us up in the middle of the night and tell us what to do. Show us the scriptures, God. And then anoint us for this next leg of the journey. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for attending today's Sunday sermon with Dr. Paula Price. Don't forget to participate in Dr. Price's live, weekly, interactive radio talk show right here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, that is www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.